All right, 1 Peter chapter 3. That's where we were yesterday. We got off track. No, we were in chapter 2 yesterday. I don't know. I forgot. Likewise. Are you ready, Ronnie?
Yep.
You're not going to think I'm putting you down? Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation or manner of life of the wives. This is one of the most controversial scriptures, and especially in modern day Christianity. Because the NIV and other translations say, wives, be submissive. And what's the difference between being submissive and being in subjection? Anybody have any thoughts? This is your opportunity to say what you think this means.
Ooh.
Anybody.
Anybody. What does it mean?
Did she say food?
Yeah, he said food.
Yeah.
Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. It's too bad Gary isn't here this morning.
Wife is like subject to the king.
Right, I mean, it's the whole point of it is that it's a type of the relationship between Christ and the bride. That's why marriage is only a parable. It's not something to be a... It has no value in and of itself. It's a parable for the body so that the body can learn more and more about the mystery of Christ. But what does it mean to be in subjection? Does it mean he rules and dominates? What does it mean? What do you think it means? What have you heard it means? Have you heard it meant anything? Did you ever think about it before?
Servant?
No.
Put yourself under.
That's my two cents.
But what does that mean when you put yourself under? It's time for the women to talk.
I never thought about it before.
You never thought about it before?
Never seen this scripture.
Me neither.
The Baptists have seen it a lot.
Yeah, they love it.
Submissive is what they say. Be submissive.
Be controlled and dominated.
That's right. It's spiritual sadomasochism.
I suspect you don't believe that.
No, I don't believe that. But again, remember, let's go to Ephesians 5 real quick. Why?
It just says the same thing. Why are we going to go with you?
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, in verse 22, as unto the Lord. Now there's the difference. It's as unto the Lord. In other words, when they look at their husbands, they are to see Jesus Christ. Just like we talked about yesterday, when you look at when you look at your boss, you should see that you are in subjection or in submission to him as if he were Jesus Christ incarnate. Now, this doesn't have anything to do with what the world thinks being submissive means. It means that you are always faithful to the parable. And you always see it as a parable. You can discuss it, you can do all kinds of stuff, but if the husband uses this, as Gary Buckner used to try to do to Judy, I mean, Judy just, she spiritually castrated him so many times that it was unreal. I mean, Gary used to come and talk. He used to come and talk to me about that more than anything else.
You mean kind, gentle Gary?
Yeah. Because he wanted her to do what he said without questioning. And if she questioned him, which she always did, which is not the antithesis of being in subjection to, then he would go ballistic. He would become domineering. And then he would try domineering for a while, and that didn't work. And so then he started saying, God damn it, I married Ollie. What a disgusting thought that was.
Oh, God.
Because
talk about sadomasochistic.
Because you and she
agree
be in the same agreement about whatever the thing was.
So we're back to this place. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. That doesn't mean you don't push against the barriers. It doesn't mean you don't go take it as far as it can go, whatever the it is. But by being in subjection, you have left your own, you have entered into humility, you've left your own ideas and opinions, and you freed the Holy Spirit to work on the husband. In the same way that if we are in subjection as believers unto Christ without the internal grumbling and rebellion, then that frees the Holy Spirit to conform us to the image of Christ. It's not about the world. It's not about what world values and feminism and all that. It's about the mystery of God in Christ through the relationship between a man and a woman. Let me finish in Ephesians. Husbands, so therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, in Peter, it says, husbands, love your wives according to knowledge. The initial attraction that happens between a man and a woman that caused them to get married in the first place is all physical. I mean, you may say it isn't, you may say it, but in fact it is. Otherwise you wouldn't have been attracted. But that dies very quickly. And it must be transformed into this mystery of Christ and the bride. That's why I get so upset at, you know.
That's the knowledge of that.
Right. So husbands, love your wives according to knowledge. If you don't do that, then you will become a domineering idiot. Am I communicating to anybody? This has nothing to do with your personality. It has nothing to do with the way in which, this is the way I am or this is not the way I am. It's universal. It's without exception. Husbands, love your wives according to knowledge. Knowledge of what? Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
No.
What don't you understand?
I guess it's just, and maybe in my mind, I'm still trying to find some connection between, you know, what this wives being subjection to your husband.
Well, it's obvious. Didn't it just say that as Christ loved the church, as the church is in subjection unto Christ? Do you understand that there is absolutely no purpose in male and females? God could have made us, you know, have children anyway by touching each other's elbows or something. You know, what do you call that when it's one single cell single sex regeneration?
Split.
Huh?
Asexual.
No, there's a word for it.
Well, it's like those amoebas, we could have just split it off.
But anyway, the point of it is that there is no greater revelation of the mystery of God than the relationship between a man and a woman. And that includes all aspects of it. If you remember a long time ago, I did that whole series called Raw Sex.
Where's
it at? Huh? Harry's got it. Harry's got it. And well, you should. And Glenn Evans was riding in his car. He was giving Isaiah Robertson a ride somewhere, and he played that tape. And Isaiah went ballistic.
In a good way, or bad?
Yeah, in a good way. Because he's had umpteen problems with women over his lifetime.
It's like when we read these scriptures, it's just like everything else. We want to go straight to the doing, like there's something to do. And it's the first seeing. If you don't see it, then the doing is not going to ever happen. I mean, it's...
Yeah, you just...
It's like doing everything as unto the Lord. That's a seeing thing. It's not, doesn't mean that you're going to change what you're doing.
But to see the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, how did Christ love the church? He risked everything. Let's go back. Let's go down a little bit. Well, let's finish that section in Ephesians and we'll talk. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh. No sane man, is what it says, ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and they shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Every relationship in the Bible that talks about between a man and a woman, every relationship in life between a man and a woman, every fantasy image, even the rejection of sexuality, all of it has to do with Christ and his church. It doesn't have anything to do with how to have a successful marriage. Now that's the way the mind wants to see this. Because then what you're doing is you're literalizing the parable and you become a Pharisee. I don't think people are understanding me, and I don't know how to explain it any better. Everything about our spiritual walk, in the Old Testament, it's called observe to do, which is a strange combination of words. Obedience is called observe first, to do. Everything about our relationship with God is seeing instead of doing. We are constructed so what we hear is what we see. What we see is what we do. And you can prove that in every society of the world. Based on their teaching is based on how they... That's why I've said so often, if most of the people that name, you know, around here, that used to be around here, you know, if they were in Russia, they'd be good communists. If they were in Arabia, they'd be a good Muslim. If they were in China, they'd be a good Shinto. It has nothing to do with being born again. But we are not about doing. We are about seeing. And if you don't see, you can't try to see. You can only repent. Because if you're trying to see, you're still working it. And if you're working it, then the reward will no longer be a reward to you. It'll become a debt. Instead of grace, it's now a debt. Because you have an obligation. And so it'll just cause you to go down deep into the pits of depression where you belong for trying to get it right. Am I communicating to anybody?
Yeah, what you just said refers directly to what we've been reading, which is I mean, Paul's talking about, he talks about a person's relationship with their master or their boss. Then he talks about a woman's relationship with her husband or a husband's relationship. All those are examples to show what is going on in your life, which is to reveal Christ and the relationship between his body. I mean,
here's the problem.
None of it's to be taken literally.
Here's the problem. Let's go to second Hebrews 2. Take a left from Peter or a right from Ephesians. Hebrews chapter 2. Remember, before we start, but remember in 1 John, it says, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." Are you listening, Michael? No, you weren't. You're reading.
I thought you were reading, son.
All right.
Looking for where you're reading.
I just said, in 1 John chapter 3, or 2, or wherever, 4, or wherever it is, 3, it says, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure." And what that means is, most people say, well, I'm going to wait and see Jesus when he comes again the second time. Well, I promise you something. If you're not seeing Jesus now, when he comes again, you won't see him. You will be destroyed. You'll be left in the dust of the fires of the earth and the universe melting. Because your garment will be totally and completely spotted by the flesh, by your attempt to try to get it right. Now, when Christ said it's finished, he meant it. The moment he said it's finished, then all things were put in subjection under his feet. And he then sat down, because there was no more work in the universe left. He sat down at the right hand of God, and he is at rest. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And if you are therefore not sitting with him at rest, it is a death penalty. If you're still working it, if you're still trying, if you're still trying to get it right, if you're still trying to understand, you're working it and you're going to die. You will have a death penalty because spiritually you are standing in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who is seated. And that means you have absolutely no respect for him. You are concerned for your own welfare. To be in subjection means I trust everything to him. I trust that if he wants me to know something, he will make me know it. Because everything is given to me freely with no effort on my part. But I promise you, if in any way you're still trying, then you're working it. And this incredible mystery of grace will be the weight that will drag you down to the pits of hell. Now let's go to Hebrews 2. Verse 7. "Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him." Because we got these little weird blah, 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 ad nauseum. We're trying to do something. We're trying to get something. Just like this stupid world. We're trying to use the cursed methods to apprehend the mystery of godliness. It cannot be done. We Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. That means everything is in perfect control. God is in perfect control of everything. Everything is exactly as it should be. And that's the only way that you can say Jesus is Lord. You know, no man can say except by the Spirit of God that Jesus is Lord. Well, you can repeat those words, but if your life will show you don't believe it, because you will get upset and murmur and complain, and you'll get mad and judge, and you don't. Therefore, you don't believe that Jesus is Lord, because you still believe you are Lord. Don't you understand? This is a constant battle against your own self-deification, which is the opposite of being in subjection to. What? Okay. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus. Not someday in the great by and by, not when I die and go to Beulah Land, but I see him wherever I look. And that can only come by the grace of God. But it can only come by your repentance. When you stop your incessant trying. Because your trying, again, is nothing more than your own attempts at self-deification. Because it's not you that's trying, it's the Antichrist. It's been masquerading as you. Now, can you understand now maybe what it means, wives be in subjection unto your own husbands? Husbands, love your wives according to knowledge as Christ loved the church. It becomes an automatic because you see him. It's not something to do.
It's like your senses are never going to tell you that Jesus is in control. He's always going to tell you that something's wrong.
Well, stop and think. Look at me. I mean, I am falling apart. I have no future, no hope, no nothing. No money, no health, no friends. I have a whole body of enemies. My life is just a terrible mess according to anybody's understanding, especially my understanding. But I wouldn't change a hair. And this is what you have to see. That's your heritage. If you stop the incessant attempts to get it right, it's getting boring! Am I communicating? We see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus wherever we look. And as soon as we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's the automatic. That's the way we're built. We've heard the truth. Now we will see the truth. And now we will do the truth. No effort. No more effort than a bird flying or a rock falling. That's what it means. When the Son is made free, is free indeed. This is the truth of the gospel. It's the fullness of Jesus Christ. Not your attempts to understand him. Not your attempts to try to gain something from him.
Christmas Carol, where Scrooge is saying to one of these spirits of Christmas past or something, you know, that I've learned a lot from this previous spirit, and I'm wanting to gain more. And the spirit says, "Always trying to gain." You know, it's like, well, I'd never heard that before, but you know, it was like just the very thing we talked about the other day.
Amen. Whatever thing is a gain to you is a loss to Christ. Get that through your head. You understand? If you don't see something, it's not. There's no effort in the universe can cause you to see it. If you don't see something, say, "Father, forgive me." there something I don't understand? No work in the universe, no amount of Bible study in the universe will ever get you to understand it. It's, Father, forgive me. The key to everything is repentance. And if there's something that confronts you and you don't understand or you don't need or whatever, it's not, oh, I'm going to go try. I spent 12 years translating the scriptures. I didn't learn one thing from that translating. Not one thing about the mystery of God. I haven't learned one thing about the mystery of God since the day I became a believer. I've tried to find a way so that it wouldn't be true because I didn't like it. My mind hates it. I'm out of time. It's His good pleasure to give you all things freely with absolutely no effort on your part. And never forget it. Know if you're trying to do something. Know if you're mad. Know if you're angry. Know if you're anxious. Know if you have anxiety. That any of those issues can only be dealt with, not with Prozac, not with study. They can only be dealt with by, Father, forgive me. It's the last thing that anybody wants to hear when they're in that position. That proves it's right. It's His good pleasure to give us all things freely. Can you see why you hate grace? Because it destroys all aspects of self-deification. The hottest fire in the universe to destroy the idolatry that's controlled and it makes you who you are is mercy. There's no fire hotter than mercy because it totally and completely destroys you. And it's starting to bore me more than my, I don't even have words for it, to see people who have heard this year after year after year and are still working it. I know enough about boredom to know that I have a strong sensation that the long suffering of our Lord is about over. If that doesn't put the fear of God into you, nothing will. But why do you refuse so great a salvation? How can you neglect it? All things necessary for life and godliness are given to you freely. You are inheritor of all things. You own all things. By one offering, you've been perfected forever. Oh, but it wasn't enough for me. Because I got to control it by understanding it. You pissant. Have I made myself clear? Mr. Boho?
Yes,
you're
clear.
All right, take it, big guy. Unless somebody wants to say something.
Not even a judicious mix of Prozac and study will.
What do you say?
I asked if you had just referred to him as a pissant.
No. I'd be for anybody that's trying to work it as a pissant. So therefore, you, Bojo, is sometimes a piss hat.
Keep going, Harvey. One full
flush. All right. Nobody has any response. I think I hurt my voice.
It's a mighty fine message.
I ruined the tape. Somebody should stop me when I do that.
Put a governor on your mouth.
Stop, lest we hear.
Everybody can go.
Stop,
we've had people do that before.
Is that what they're doing when they do that? When they go, la, 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 la.
And you don't want to hear it anymore.
I was really, never mind.
Well, you got some ears. It's still here.
I was referring to the right. No, they're putting their, they're doing, then they go, la, 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 la. I can't hear that. Several people have done that. Is Mr. Neat. He's not very being neat. All right.
Mr. OCD.
Take it, big guy.